Okay, hi, and welcome to the Talking TV podcast with Ferg and Cody. This is kind of the test pilot. I'm Ferg, and we also have Cody. Say hi, Cody.
Hi, Cody.
We're kind of be talking about TV, and if there's any, you know, things, this is a test pilot, there will be kinks and things to smooth, iron out and work out, and, you know, and kind of we're doing this over Skype, so the audio quality won't be the best, but hopefully it's bearable. We're going to be talking about a bunch of different shows, and wherever this is ends up being uploaded or posted, so hopefully there'll be some sort of, like, you know, jump to this point for this show, so you can see what we talk about. So should we just jump in, Cody?
Yep.
Every last one of them will wish I had died on that island.
Well, I think today we're going to start with the new CW show, Arrow. Now, this is obviously a kind of modern-day Batman Begins take on the Green Arrow. Kind of, it's CW's, I guess, second attempt at a superhero show, first being Smallville, which with a lot of people was hit or miss. And Arrow just kind of brings, like, the realism. Like, they've said there's going to be no powers, there's going to be, it's, you know, very grounded in reality.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting choice. I mean, you can definitely see the Batman Begins influences, or the Christopher Nolan influences in it.
Yeah, sure. I think obviously it's not as good as the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, and I think, you know, there's a certain, but it's still entertaining. But I wouldn't say it's as grounded as the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. And it's kind of like, it's not something that I'm, like, super into at the moment. I don't know about you, Cody. I haven't talked to you about it.
Yeah, I'm quite into it, actually. I just, you know, it seems really different for a CW show, and that's what I like, because, like, I mean, I watch lots of CW shows, and sadly to say, and
don't be sad about
Arrow, yeah, and Arrow's just different in terms of what they do with the action and the fight scenes, and I'm into it. I'm definitely buying it.
Yeah, no, I don't dislike it. And I agree with you. The action scenes are actually really good for TV, which is something, one of my beefs with TV, which I kind of, the action stuff on TV isn't as good just generally in all sorts of shows, which I kind of understand because I, you know, I don't have nearly as much time to make. But I really like the action stuff on Arrow, but I kind of, you know, I'm not, like, obsessively hooked onto it. But at the same time, I do find myself kind of oddly drawn to it in the sense of, like, each week, I generally, it'll be one of the first shows I kind of get to in the backlog of the many that I watch. Because I think it's easy and it's light and it's not, like, heavy in any sense, and it's pretty fun, and, you know, but it's still got good characters and kind of a good, you know, fun conspiracy story that's progressing nicely. So it's an enjoyable show, but it's not one that I'm really, as I said.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they go on with it, because throughout a lot of the episodes, you've noticed they do flashbacks to Oliver's time on the island.
Yeah.
And they say that's going to continue out until the very end of the series. Like, the last flashback will be, like, the very first scene of the show where he sees the boat.
I'm not sure I'm going to hold the right... I'm calling the writer's bluff. I'm saying that I don't think they'll do that, because if you go on six seasons, you know, at that point, it's like, how, you know, you're going to have it end at the end of season six, let's say that's where it ends or whatever, and the last flashback is him getting onto the island. A, he's going to look a lot older because it'll have been 6 years later. So he's going to look older in the flashbacks than he does in the pilot when he gets back to home. And also, it's just like, what are they really going to do with those flashbacks? I think at some point, they're going to have to drop them after, like, two seasons, you know, if the show continues to be a success, because I think it would just get kind of boring. Or they'll need to introduce some sort of, like, massive thing that happened on the island that Oliver hasn't talked about or mentioned, which seems like maybe it could be happening with all the guys on the island and stuff, and was it? Oh, who was that character with the mask? I can't remember his name. But,
Deathstroke.
Yeah, that guy. So they maybe are kind of doing that already, but it's. I think, you know, they're going to have to drop the flashbacks.
Did you actually see, though, who they got to play? Because they're going to be bringing Deathstroke back, and they've got Crixus from Spartacus playing him.
Yeah, I saw that. I'd forgotten who it was, as you just mentioned it, but yeah, Crixus, yeah. I think that's a good choice. I can't remember the name now, the actor's name, but yeah, he's Crixus. He's, I like him a lot. I really like him in Spartacus, so yeah, cool. They're getting a lot of good guest stars in there, actually. John Barrowman is very good,
yeah.
And I'm trying to remember who was someone else. I'm sure was on the show recently. Singing from Battlestar Galactica and Dollhouse, was it?
Oh, right.
Who,
I can't even remember
right?
His name.
I didn't imagine that. Tola, no, I can't remember. I can't remember his name. The guy from Dollhouse, let's just say. He was on it, wasn't he? And I'm sure someone else was. There's a couple of people on my mind. Of course, my mind goes completely blank when we start to record podcasts.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, like, I'm really surprised how early they're introducing all of these other DC characters. Like, Smallville, they took, what was it, 4 seasons before they had, like, the Flash come in. And then this, it's like, the first 9 episodes, there's so much that they're actually taking from the comics and bringing in, which I'm loving because I like seeing all those Easter eggs and that stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying that as well. But as someone who doesn't, I kind of vaguely know the characters like from the Justice League cartoons and, you know, all the different DC cartoons, but I don't really know them from the comics. So I kind of know Huntress. It was voiced by Amy Acker in the comics. And it was cool to see her in Arrow. And, you know, I'm glad that... Is she in this week's? Because it seemed like she would be from the episode 7, the way that ended.
She's in episode 8, and then I think she's going away for a while, and then I think there's potential to bring her back.
And I kind of like that they weren't just, like, bringing her in one episode and being like, oh, her and Oliver fancy each other, and then she, like, gets killed or whatever, and then, you know, he forgets about the next episode. I thought that was kind of good. I hope that, you know, they don't, like, kill her off, you know, that she becomes, I don't know what I mean, a recurring character, but sort of popped up every now and again, sort of like, the guys did on Smallville, you know, you'd see the Flash every now and again.
It seems like some of the time they rush their episodes. Like that one episode, I think it was episode 6 with the Royal Flush Gang. I felt that easily could have been a two-parter.
I thought that as well, actually, or I thought, like, bring them back. I felt like they're going to waste the Royal Flush. Didn't use them enough. I felt like, you know, have, I don't know, a couple of them escape, maybe. I can't remember what happened with them. Did they all get sent to jail? I can't remember.
Yeah, and then, like, the king father died.
I just thought, kind of what I was saying, yeah, they were just wasted. And I just, I just thought, oh, these could be cool, like, recurring villains, like, every now and again. You know, once a season or something, oh, shit, the Royal Flush Gang is back, you know, or whatever they want to call them, you know, this grounded, quote-unquote, universe, Flush Gang, or the, you know, the Royals, because they refused to call Green Arrow. And it would be nice to have them as, like, recurring bad guys, but I guess not. I mean, I think the Royal Flush Gang were different families in the comics, I don't know their history, so maybe potentially you could have a copycat family or gang or something, maybe, but it does seem a bit wasted.
I didn't really care for it, because they made them, I think they tried to make them a little too sympathetic, whereas, like, in the comics and animated show, these people do this because they get off on it. They like to rob, they've got money,
yeah,
but they also like to rob people, whereas these were poor people who, they robbed banks so they could support themselves, and I kind of wanted to see a little more of the villainous side.
Yeah, I know what you mean, actually. I think now you say that, I remember in the Justice League cartoon, which is where I know them prominently from, they were rich in that, and they were like a rich family, I think, and they were kind of like a bit snobby as well, which I always liked about them in the cartoon. I thought that was kind of interesting. And then, were they in Batman Beyond, I think, as well, or something, or they showed up somewhere again? I liked them, but yeah, definitely I felt like they were wasted in this episode that they were in.
Your son got dumped.
What should he do?
He should sleep with her best friend.
Parenthood. It's been having a strong fourth season.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think this is a show where, one of the few shows. I mean, and that hasn't been on for ages. It kind of like feels like a while now. Like it's been on longer than it kind of should have. Not in a bad way. The show is actually getting better as it goes along. Each season I find is stronger than the last. You know, season one was very good, and season two just kind of blew that out of the water, especially the second half. And then season three just was amazing and just knocked that out of the park with all the stuff where Sarah's husband came back, or ex-husband, should I say, came back and stuff, and that was great. And then this season, just second episode, right out the gate, boom. Just amazing.
Yeah, they dropped the cancer bomb, and then, you're just immediately just wondering what to do. And, Parenthood makes me feel all these weird emotions. And it's a TV show, but yet like I love these characters, like they're real, more than other TV shows.
I know what you mean. It's, you feel really attached to them, like they're sort of your family. And when they do something that you think is like, I mean, I know a lot of people like this with TV shows, but like, or the hardcore fans, I guess. But you kind of just feel like they're your family, and when they do something, when they do something bad or whatever, you're just like, what are these life decisions that you're making? And you're like, hang on, is it just a TV character? Or you're like, when Christina was like, got cancer, I kind of guessed that she might get cancer because I'm watching it next day after it's aired, and everybody on Twitter is like, oh shit, I can't believe they did that. And throughout the whole episode, I was just thinking, well, they're not going to kill anyone. And I was thinking, are they going to drop the cancer bomb? And if they do, holy shit, where's that going to lead? But yeah, the characters, you just feel really attached to them.
Well, do you think, because, now that they've got the cancer thing in, do you think that they actually will have the balls to kill her off? Do you think they'll go that far?
I don't know. The show is a family show, and, obviously, I think if you're going to kill someone off, this is the only way you can do it on this kind of show, or have, a car accident or something, but even that's getting a bit kind of like soapy, but I don't know if they would, because they would go that far. I don't think Jason Clayton's ever killed, he never killed any prominent characters on Friday Night Lights apart from, spoiler alert, Matt's dad.
And then they had Landry kill that other guy.
Oh yeah, that didn't happen. that was the alternate Friday Night Lights timeline, wasn't it? But then they corrected it in season three. I guess there was that. But I don't know whether they kill her or not. Right now I'm saying they're not going to, but if they did, holy shit.
If they did, that could be like the most emotional episode of television since Buffy's The Body.
Yeah, since The Sun in Friday Night Lights. Because the whole character storyline has been really intense already. There was that fantastic scene in I can't remember what episode it is, but it's where the one that Christina tells all the fam that she has cancer, and that scene just broke my heart. It just really got to me. And so if they did kill her off in, say, the finale or something, I feel like, that would just be really intense. Maybe too intense for me to handle, because sometimes the show, I'm like, oh, I'm not sure I want to watch it right now because it's just so intense sometimes, and I'm just so invested in these characters. I don't know if I can handle that at the moment. I just want to watch Oliver Queen blow some things up and not move his arms.
NBC has been really weird with this show in terms of picking it up. You got season one, a 13-episode order. Then that did well, so they picked up season two for 22. Then three was shortened to 18, and now we've got 15 episodes for season four. Do you think, like, going like that, do you think Parenthood is going to last? Like, can it last for another year or so, or do you think, like, this might be it?
I'm going to say for the minute that they'll get at least another 13 episodes. I wouldn't be surprised if, similar to Friday Night Lights, they say this is the final outing. I don't really know what they could do in a final year, because it's not exactly a show where you can bring all the mythology to a head.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Yeah, me too. They've been really weird with the episode orders. Like, because season 3 was originally just ordered for 16, and then they added on the extra 2 to make it 18, and it's just, they've been all over the place with the show.
I'm going to go stop the big bad wolf, which is the weirdest thing I've ever said.
Supernatural. Do you think season 8, like, the way they're approaching season 8 with this whole storyline and, you know, close the gates of hell forever, do you think this might be it for Supernatural?
You know, I think it depends on the CW. Because you feel like at this point they would have said, yeah, this is it. It feels like a final season. Like, I feel like they're closing the gates out. No more demons. You know, where do you go from that in season 9? You know, unless they don't close the gates out, but presumably they will, unless they get picked up. And then they're like, oh shit, we got to change the ending. It does feel very much like it could be a final season. But I don't know, it's tough, you know.
I don't know if you saw this, but I wrote a post there about a month ago about this new season and how they're using flashbacks to basically show what Sam and Dean, each of the brothers, have been up to for the past year. And it's really, because I find both of them acting out of character. Like, you know, you've got, like, Dean's purgatory flashbacks they were okay. Like, you didn't really, you saw, it was mostly towards the end, like, for when he got out of purgatory, and you didn't really get to see how he survived. Like, you know, did he eat? Did he have to eat?
Yeah.
Like, how did he sleep? And then you got Sam showing his, like, really normal life. And then you basically got, when Dean comes back, he basically criticizes Sam for leading a normal life, which, you know, if you rewind back to season 5, Dean thought Sam was dead, but he went and lived a normal life.
Yeah, no, like, I thought that was a bit hypocritical.
Yeah, and they're doing it with Sam too. Like, way back in season 2, you had, like, this whole group of vampires who didn't feed off humans, and Sam was sympathetic towards them, and Dean wanted them all dead. And then you've got now, Dean's got his one of his best friends, Benny, who he's fought back to back with for a year. And, you know, he vouches for him, but Sam wants him dead, you know, just because he's a vampire.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think 8 years with the show, and they are kind of retreading old ground a little bit, but I don't necessarily think that this season, has been hurt by that. I kind of agree with what you're saying, but I kind of understand where the characters are coming from. I definitely think that Dean is being really hypocritical, because he lived a normal life, even though he found it, like, boring, I guess. But Sam, I can understand Sam wanting to kill Benny. Because, well, Benny's a bit shady, anyways. He did kill that guy. But you're like, okay, I guess I understand that. You know, he doesn't really know Benny. He hasn't spent all the time that Dean did. And so he would be kind of wary that Benny might, like, trip up, or Benny was tricked, Dean somehow. So I can kind of understand where Sam's coming from, but Dean, not necessarily, because it is kind of, you just thought, oh, that's exactly what you did, you know, at the end of season 5. What are you on about? You know, you don't really have a leg to stand on. It's like that whole thing in season 6, the end of 6, when Castiel wanted to save Helen, and Dean was just being a little bitch about it. He was being really, like, annoying and sort of just really, like, not kind of, I don't know, just was only thinking of himself. And Castiel was like, can't you understand? I'm trying, you know, save Helen. There's a war going on, and Dean was always like, oh no, I don't care about that. Blah blah blah. Yeah.
I definitely get that, because I'm always pissed off at the end of season 6, because it's just, you know, how many times have Sam and Dean made a deal with a demon or something else like that? And Castiel, he's actually trying to, you know, because the angels want to restart the apocalypse. And that directly affects them because they're the vessels. So I think it depends on who's showrunner, because, you know, you had Kripke was first five, then Sarah Gamble for six and seven, and now you got Jeremy Carver for season eight. So I think it all depends on who's running things as to how the brothers are going to act.
Yeah, I think Jeremy Carver is doing a better job than Sarah Gamble was. Because season six I found is really super hit and miss. Season seven I liked better, but there were still chunks of it, or a lot of it, where I just wasn't as invested as I was the first 5 years, and I found myself getting a bit bored at some points, and I just kind of was like a little frustrated, you know. It seemed to be like every season there was like an even more powerful evil person comes in, you know, like, oh, the Leviathan, you know, or, oh, you know, you've got each year it's just like go bigger. But season eight, like a few episodes into it, I found myself getting quite invested in kind of the flashbacks of Sam and the story, and kind of I really was really enjoying the individual episodes. The cartoon one recently was pretty fun, all the stuff with the, you know, the heart pounding out the chest. That was pretty cool. And I'm trying to remember, and the Paranormal Activity Chronicle Handicam kind of one with the guy, the werewolf, that was really cool. So I feel like this season's been stronger than the last two for sure, and I found myself getting like more into it than I have been for season six and seven. So I feel like I'm sort of willing to forgive kind of the retreading of ground, or the kind of the characters, Sam and Dean, not really kind of falling into line or being a bit hypocritical, because I'm like, well, I'm kind of invested in what's going on, and I'm enjoying it a lot more than I have been, so, oh, you know, I'll forgive these other things.
I understand, but I remember Jeremy Carver saying that he's got plans to take them to season 10, and I'm just wondering, like, where can you possibly, you know, how long are you going to stretch out Closing the Gates of Hell?
Yeah, I don't, maybe, no. You know, maybe there's some sort of, there's something beyond hell, maybe there's, you know, the angels become a full threat after hell's closed. You know, you pull a fringe and have angels trying to take over the world or something. I don't know.
That'd be interesting, with stuff that's going on right now with Castiel.
Yeah.
And this Amanda Tapping.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. That's really, I'm really enjoying that. When she first appeared, I think she's only been in it twice now, but when she appeared, that was awesome. Like, the way they cut that together was really cool as well, I thought, with the way it was just in the middle of talking, and then suddenly it was like, ba-doom, and it was there, and you're like, what the fuck's going on with this? And then she does that thing, and then they do it again, and it's just a really cool, instead of having, like, you know, I don't know, because they can't do anything fancy, you know, because of the budget, I guess, but that kind of, I think, has helped with that, the way they did that, because it's just much more interesting if suddenly you're like, boom, there, you know, in the middle of a sentence. Which I thought was a really interesting choice.
Yo, JC, you taking requests?
The Walking Dead Season 3, I think the writers have taken everything about Season 2 that the fans complained about and immediately addressed it at the start of Season 3. People were complaining that there was no, like, hardly any zombie kills. And the first episode, I think there was at least 20, like, just right bang, bang, bang. And Season 2 suffered from a lot of sitting around doing nothing, like on the farm. And I really don't think they should have been on the farm the entire season.
No, not in the slightest. I think Season 2 suffered from being just shit. and I think I came into Season 3 as someone who really disliked Season 1 and felt Season 2 and felt that Season 1 was really hit and miss. Kind of wasn't the show I was hoping it would be, I guess. And came into Season 3 as like, I don't know if I want to watch the show anymore, you know. But Season 3 really hooked me, and I felt like they fixed pretty much most of the problems the show had. The pace was much better. Characters were much more, just much better written, much more consistent. More kind of, more action, you know, just a better written show overall, and sort of had characters kind of at some points addressing some of the things that fans complained about, like Laurie saying, oh, you know, I know I've been a shitty mother and a shitty wife, which is a lot of things. and there was something, when she was like, when he said, he asked if he should kill the prisoners to her, and she was like, you do what you gotta do, and he's like, you sure this time? And I thought that was a nice sort of like, a nice pointer at season two, with the whole Shane and the way that ended.
I definitely like now they've got a set like a set villain with the governor, because season one, it was just kind of the people against the zombies. And then you got season two towards the end a little bit. It kind of started playing with the idea that it's not just the zombies you have to watch out for. It's like the other survivors. And season three is really playing that up with Woodbury and the governor and like everything that he's about, because he's just like, he's a bastard.
Yeah.
You know, he's, you know, he just kills for no reason, it seems like. And yeah.
Yeah. I think he's a really interesting character, and he's different from the comics, but I think I like what David Morrissey and the writers are doing with the governor in the comics, because there are lots of similarities to the comics. But I think the show's kind of going slightly a little different with it. But he's playing it really well, and I think he's good at being kind of like, you could see why everybody would trust him, because even in the like first one he was introduced, I was like, oh, maybe they're not going to play him so much as the villain. And I sort of fell into his web of you know, kindness or whatever.
Oh yeah, me too.
And then he turns around and he's just, you know, killing all those army guys or marines or whatever they were. And then, you know, and he's got like the heads in his thing, and his daughter is a zombie, and he's, you know, and he's got Glenn and Maggie tied up, and you're just like, this is an evil dude. And then he turns around and he's like super nice to everyone, and, you know, feeding them all these lies, and you could totally see why people would fall into his trap, or not trap, but, you know, his kind of like his other face, I guess.
Yeah, I was definitely believing the stuff that he was saying, like, you know. And then, because the comics really go into a really dark spot with the governor, like that whole, spoilers, that whole part where he like rapes Michonne,
yeah,
and stuff like that. And I thought, you know, I was curious whether or not they were going to do it here.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, it wasn't going to be Michonne, but it seemed like for a while it was going to be Maggie that he was going to exact that on. And, but AMC, I don't think, is willing to go that dark.
Yeah, I think, you know, I wonder if maybe they should have gone that dark, because he felt like, well, I felt like personally, when Michonne kind of got into that fight with the governor, she didn't have that much reason to actually be that pissed. I mean, you could see why she'd be kind of like suspicious of him, but she didn't really have a lot of proof. I mean, she saw that he had a bunch of heads in his office and that he kept his zombie daughter locked up. That's not exactly like, and I guess she knew that Glenn was captured, but she didn't know, like, the full extent of what was going on and stuff. So you kind of were like, why, you know, you weren't quite sure why she was that much. She seemed to, like, just be blindly, like, really focused and pissed off at the governor. And you were kind of like, well, I'm not sure you have any reason to be this angry. I mean, we as the audience know you do, but I'm not sure you as, you know, with the knowledge you have as the character, know that, and the, you know, should be that pissed off.
Yeah, it seemed like there was just no motive for her, like, other than she just didn't like him.
Yeah, and as the audience were like, you know, we're like, yeah, we know that in the comics he's pure evil, and they'll probably go down the road in the show, at least to an extent, and they kind of, you know, obviously they already have, and they'll probably go further with it in the second half of season three. But at this point you're kind of like, well, she knows that he keeps his zombie daughter locked up. All right, that's a bit weird, but you can get it. And she knows that he has Glenn and Maggie trapped, but he doesn't know what, you know, what's going on with them. So again, you're just like, not sure.
And I'm curious to see how far they're going to go with Michonne, because in the comics, you know that she's a little crazy. Like, she talks to people who aren't there.
Yeah.
And she's like a home wrecker. And now that they've introduced Tyrese, and I guess the girl with him is like supposed to be his girlfriend, maybe they'll do that storyline with them. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm not sure if she is supposed to be his girlfriend or not. I guess maybe they might be involved somehow, kind of, you know. But I'm kind of curious to see whether they hook up Tyrese and Michonne, because I think that'd be quite interesting to see that on in the series. Because I'm from the vibes I'm getting from Tyrese from that one episode, he's like my favorite character in the comics, and I really liked him and what they did with him in this episode. And it wasn't like they didn't do a lot, but he just seemed like, I felt like, okay, phew, they haven't ruined it. You know, he's not exactly like the comics, but it felt like it's a good adaptation, a good version of him brought to the screen, shall we say?
Yeah, and I'm glad that they actually brought him in, because for the longest time, people were like, oh, well, T-Dog is just supposed to be Tyrese.
I know, people were complaining about that. They're like, oh, why'd they have to change his name to T-Dog? And I'm like, and I remember Frank Darabont, when he was still on the show, saying like, no, we haven't, we want to bring in Tyrese at some point, but we haven't brought him in yet. And I was just like, well, yeah, of course T-Dog's not Tyrese.
Yeah, and I'm glad they didn't go that way, because, you know, they didn't really do a whole lot with T-Dog. You know, he was just kind of, he was one of the supporting characters that was there for the longest time. And then, you know, obviously they,
iced him.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Octum?
Yeah. My name is, they offed him in that episode 4, which is great, where they also killed, I guess more spoilers, but this podcast is spoiler filled. So, they killed off Laurie, which was,
I cried.
I got quite emotional about that, which I didn't expect. And I'll tell you what, I hated her in season 2. So she was so badly written and just the worst character. She was awful in season 2. And then I didn't mind her as much in season 3, but I wasn't, like, you know, in love with her or anything. But then when they killed her off, it wasn't like Parenthood emotional, but I was like, wow, this is actually getting to me more than I thought it would. I think it was also Rick's reaction at the end of the episode, which was just really brilliantly played by Andrew Lincoln, where he just, there was that great bit where he just kind of looked at Carl and was just really, and you could just see that he was kind of like, oh no, and he was just really just heartbroken that Carl had to shoot Laurie, when they kind of, you know, that was that great look between them where they came out with the baby and they were like, you know, you could see between them, it was like, no, sorry, Laurie didn't make it. And he's just like, he was just fucked up by that.
Yeah, and major props to the show for making me entirely disgusted a few seconds before by having the baby ripped out of her.
Oh, yeah.
And then making me get so emotional. Like, I was like, oh, that's disgusting, and wiping away tears.
Yeah.
Like, a minute later.
Yeah, and it's kind of, you can see, I'm pretty good with gore when it's not, you know, as far as The Walking Dead goes, usually the gory stuff I don't mind so much. But that was actually one where I think it was also Laurie's reaction, where she just screamed out in pain. And you kind of felt that. You were like, oh, well, yeah, that's pretty horrific, just cutting open someone's belly. You know, because it's, when you're cutting off zombies' heads, it's not that bad because they're zombies and, you know, it kind of look, you know, they kind of just do it and then that's that. They don't really linger on it. But this was like, you know, ripping open her belly.
Where'd she get Peterson? Classmate, best friend. So I binged it.
So moving on to the Vampire Diaries, what do you think, like, they've introduced this season, like, a whole, they've kind of added on to mythology with, like, this, with all the hunter stuff.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're almost kind of trying to go down the Buffy route by having, like, a set amount of chosen people at one time.
Yeah.
To be hunters.
Yeah, it is a bit like that, actually.
Like, a lot of the season, I think it's mostly supposed to be focused on Elena, like, her transformation. You know, she's now a vampire, and she's got to figure out how to deal with it, but she's having kind of a harder time. Like, everyone else who gets turned into a vampire, it's just snap your fingers, they're used to it. But now, Elena, it's just completely, oh, I'm having such a hard time. I'm not meant to be this. I can't drink blood.
Yeah, I think they did that. They did that kind of with Caroline in season 2 when she got turned. It was, but because she's not the main character, it wasn't like the main focus. And a couple episodes in, she was kind of all right. But no, yeah, this is really the focus, I guess, so far in the season. It's the hunters and Elena's kind of struggle with being a vampire, and also now that she is sire to Damon, and whether he's going to unsire her or be selfish, because they kind of left it open at the end of episode, was it 10, the latest one that aired, or 9, I can't remember.
8, I think.
Was it 8? I thought it was, okay.
Yeah.
Well, whatever the latest one that was that aired, they left it open a bit, I felt like, and that whole sire thing I thought was really cool. But they're going a bit Buffy. Obviously it's a little different, because that can be, I think 5, was it? Yeah, well, it's called, yeah, it's the 5.
Yeah, 5.
There can be 5 hunters, and they're kind of, the whole thing with the tattoos is a little, is kind of different. And I guess they have to find another hunter if they want to find a cure, don't they? Mm. Because they don't want to do it with Jeremy, because it's driving him into a, you know, vampire killer, and that other guy is dead, who was in the first few episodes.
Oh yeah. He was really good. Like he was completely badass. And I was hoping he'd stick around a little longer.
Yeah.
But...
Well, I liked him. He was badass, but now Vampire Diaries, I just thought he's going to be dead in a couple episodes. There's no doubt about it. So Damon or someone is just going to kill him, and you know, lo and behold. And it's still kind of like even though I'm like, yeah, look, they're going to kill off this person. It still sort of catches me off guard when they do it because it's always so quick. You know, it's just like, whoosh, and you're like, what just happened? But yeah, it was kind of sucks that they couldn't keep him around a bit longer. But you know, Vampire Diaries is always just constantly moving and just tunneling forward with their storyline. So they're just always going from character to character. Like that priest guy, I would have thought he would have, you know, any other show that would have been like, he would have been in at least 5 episodes or something.
That's one thing that's really, I'm really looking forward to seeing resolved, is the whole mystery behind Priest and what the professor, like Professor Shane, what he has to do with it.
Yeah, because you know he's trying to gather the 12 hybrids. Yeah, hybrids. And yeah, I'm kind of curious to see what that's for. Obviously, it's probably something to do with his magic, and now that we know that he's teaching Bonnie the really, really dark magic that's called something else. I can't remember what the name for it is.
Expression.
Yeah, expression. This sounds like some sort of dance or something. but yeah, because obviously they set up in the, when Damon went looking for that witch, and then you find out, that was great actually. I love that bit where Bonnie's like, you know, he's like, oh, he calls it expression, and they're just like, oh shit, she is fucked. But they've always got a nice kind of balanced amount of stories going on. You've got kind of the whole conflict with Elena being a vampire, and then it adds on to that with the sire, and Caroline, you know, hates Damon and doesn't like that her and Elena are now a thing, and there's, you know, all the romance stuff, and you've got singing Tyler with his hybrids and trying to break the hybrids, and you've got the witch guy, the teacher, trying to do their spells, and then Klaus was in it for a little bit, and he wants to, you know. And there's always a nice kind of a good balancing and juggling of all these different stories.
Yeah, this fucking town is just cursed.
It's fucking insane. Like with Sunnydale and Buffy, you could be like, okay, well, it's, you know, the Hellmouth. And in Angel, it's like, okay, it's LA, it's the big city. You know, demons and whatnot are going to be drawn to, you know, the land of the land, you know, of angels, whatever. But this place, you're like, what's so, like, you know, why is there so many supernatural people and mystic fools? And it seems like all the main cast now, apart from Matt, is all got something supernatural about them. You've got Bonnie, who's a witch. Caroline and Stefan and Damon and Elena are vampires. The little brother is Jeremy. He's like a hunter and he can see ghosts. You know, he's just got every character. So I kind of hope that Matt is the one that always stays human throughout, you know, however many seasons the show goes on for. I'd like there at least to be one human left on the show.
Yeah, Matt's essentially, without the humor, he's the Xander of the show.
He's kind of he's the normal guy, the one without any powers. He's there for, you know, when he needs to talk to someone. And I think because of that, he's not in the show like a ton, even though he's a regular. But he's still, he's in it like a decent amount. But he's, you know, sometimes they give him a good subplot or something. But you can kind of be like, I like his character though. And I like how he's kind of the one who's not, he doesn't, you know, he's not a vampire or werewolf or whatever. So it's kind of nice that he's still got that kind of human perspective to every now and again, you know, snap Elena or Caroline or, you know, a Tyler or whoever needs snapping out of their bloodlust or whatever they're on, you know, Matt's there to be able to do that.
And then there's a couple, like, questions that you always think about, you know, it's probably stuff the writers don't intend you to think about, but how in the fuck are Jeremy and Elena still paying for their house? They've got no parents, no guardians. How are they paying bills?
That's true. I hadn't even thought of that.
Because, like, Alaric's gone, so, like, he can't even help anymore.
Alaric left them a trust fund there. I don't know. Maybe they'll address that at some point. Yeah, and I'm really confused about how long seasons take place over now. And they take place over half a year because they're still in school. No, I was just going to say, because when they 16, when the show started, or they're supposed to be 16, and so they would have been 17 by the end of season 2, and then well, some of them turned 18 in season 3, though. Or was it Caroline? She, her birthday was in season 3. And then says,
no, it was Elena, I think.
Was it Elena? I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure Caroline had a birthday last season as well. I'm sure, because she didn't want to celebrate it, because she was all like, "Oh, I'm a vampire. It's just a reminder that I won't age, and I'm always stuck at 17 or whatever." I think that was season 3. They start to jumble. So I'm just confused about the timeline, because they're still in school, but now they're talking about graduation. And thingy went and looked at a college and met, you know, creepy professor guy. So I guess they'll graduate this season or whatever, or, you know, and then they'll go to college or not go to college, depending on. They'll all go to the same college, because that, we know that's exactly what happens in real life.
It'll be University of Mystic Falls.
Yeah, I like, this is something that always bugs me in these shows, and I know that they have to do it because it's, you know, they don't want to build a ton of sets and money saving, blah, blah, blah. But there's always like one bar or one like club that all the like group in all these kind of shows go to. You know, you've got the Mystic Grill, which is just like the Mystic Grill. What a like unoriginal name that they all go to and hang out at, and they never ever go to anywhere else. And the, and like in Buffy, it was the Bronze for most of the run. And you know, there's the, and I guess Angel, it was Lorne's club. Which made a bit more sense, I guess, because Lorne owned it. But
yeah,
and they had one in Secret Circle, I think, as well. I can't remember what it's called, the Harbor something, or the I can't remember. You watched all of it, so you probably know better than me.
Something to do with boats, I think. I don't even fucking know. And then
Oh, now they've got what's her face from Secret Circle on the show, who's Tyler's like, I guess, buddy that he met and maybe slept with or didn't sleep with. In between season 3 and 4, the werewolf chick. The one from us. Well, he's Australian in real life. She's on it now. So that's kind of cool. CW just likes to, we like you, let's save you for our a show that we renewed.
Yeah, although I would have liked to have seen Secret Circle get renewed.
I think I watched 7 episodes of it, maybe or 8. I kind of fell behind, and then I was like, I guess I won't watch the rest, seeing it's been cancelled.
Yeah, because when you watch it all, it's only going to leave you wondering, like, what else, is going to happen. So you're better off just not.
Yeah, I kind of, I know it's getting a bit off topic, but Secret Circle was one that I liked, but I felt like it needed work, and it was kind of like, it was like what I thought Vampire Diaries would have been, maybe, or like what you think Vampire Diaries is like, oh, this is like the not very good version of Vampire Diaries. Well, I mean, not very good, but it's just like the, I guess, mediocre version of Vampire Diaries.
And I remember when I watched the pilot, I really enjoyed it, and you were like, well, if you like that, you'd love Vampire Diaries. And then I watched Vampire Diaries, and you know how fast I went through those first 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Like, it was only a couple weeks.
Yeah, it was, yeah, Vampire Diaries is really good, and some people get on its case now, and I think a lot of it is shippers. Yeah, Stefan and Elena, Stelena, shippers, I guess. Who just are like, oh, you can't put, you know, Elena and Damon together. You know, Elena's making such bad choices and blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, I get really frustrated with the people who are saying that the show is bad now because she's hooked up with Damon or she's, like, broken up with Stefan. And I just feel like it's not really a justifiable reason as to why the show is, like, not good, you know. I think it's still great. I love the show. If you want to give me some legitimate reason as to why you think the show's not very good, then fine, I'm not gonna, you know, tell you you're wrong, because we all have different opinions. You know, the stories are bad, or the writing's bad, or whatever, or the acting's not good, fine. But for the relationship thing, it always bugged me, like when people on Buffy were like, oh, you know, when Angel wasn't there after season 3, the show went down the hill, I'm like, no, that's not a just, you know, it's not a justifiable reason. Now, people who say, like, oh, you know, the story arc wasn't, you know, good, or wasn't well plotted, or Adam was kind of a lame bad guy, or, you know, they kind of didn't do the transition to college very well, then I'm like, well, fine, that's, you know, it's your opinion, okay. But it just pisses me off when it's like hardcore shippers who are just really intense, and they're just kind of blinded by this kind of their, you know, the relationship that they are into, and that kind of just, and then they sort of just rag on the show when the couple breaks up.
Typical CW audience, I guess.
Yeah, it's just annoying. I mean, you just, You just kind of, you just want to slap them and just be like, no, you can't, you can't give that as a reason as to why you don't like the show anymore. Because, like, if you're just watching a show because you think it works just because these two are together and you're like, oh, I love them so much together, it's just like, it's not a reason to be watching a show. I don't want to tell people their opinions, but I think it is, kind of stupid if that's your one reason for watching a show.
Relationships definitely, they play a factor in the show, and they are important in the show, but they're not the sole reason why, of what makes a show bad or good.
Yeah, and then, I'm not saying that, obviously, that's not a central part of the show, but I think it's where, you want to see where the characters are going and what kind of different places they fall into, and the characters making mistakes, I think, isn't necessarily the writers making mistakes. It's the characters are making mistakes and learning from that. Where the characters are like seeing, oh, this is a bad relationship for me, and that's the audience is going, oh, Dana's bad for Elena. Well, Elena might realize in a couple of episodes that Dana's bad. Damon is bad for her, and then she'll kind of, she'll lose him or whatever, or he'll untie her, or her goes. So I don't think that necessarily, the characters doing certain things is reflective on the quality of the show. It's reflective on, what the characters are going through at the period in the time of the show and where they're at. Like when Buffy started dating, Riley, that's what she needed at that point. She needed something that what she thought at least was simple and easy and, it was nice. And she needed that, and that was good for her in her life. And people are like, oh, Riley's so boring. Well, that was kind of the point, He was just like, he was Captain Cardboard, and he wasn't the most interesting character, but that's what that, sorry, I'm getting a ranty now, but that's what that character needed. That's me done.
Well, that's completely fine. I mean, I understand where you come from with the Riley thing, but I think, looking back, I don't think he wasn't completely boring, but he was made more interesting by the Initiative and the military.
Yeah, and I think he was made more interesting in season 5 and all the kind of stuff when I really liked his little kind of story arc where he felt like Buffy was pushing him away. And some people are he couldn't handle that she was like a superpower chick and they were like, but I liked the whole thing, because he kind of did feel it in season 5 that she was like pushing him away. She wasn't even confiding in him when her mom was, going through this horrible illness and stuff. We've gone a bit off topic now, but yeah.
We've gone way off tangent.
Yeah. I guess just the fun of these things.
That's bound to happen.
Okay, so it's been our talk on Arrow, Parenthood, Supernatural, Vampire Diaries, and Walking Dead. I hope you guys have enjoyed this podcast. If you like it, tell us tell us what you didn't like about it, and we hope to improve and iron out any kinks and do more of these. How often we'll be able to do them is up in the air at the moment. And obviously with shows being on Christmas break, it's a little they won't be airing consistently at the minute. But we hope you enjoyed it, and this is me for signing off, and I guess we'll see you in the next one. Bye.
See you later.
Well, something very strange is happening.
Can you believe the Watchers Council let this guy go?